Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Those are the words that we find in the passage that we just heard from Matthew's gospel attributed to Jesus in response to John's objection to being asked to baptize Jesus. Now, this passage records the first appearance of Jesus as an adult in Matthew's gospel. When we last left Jesus at the end of the second chapter, which we heard last Sunday, Jesus was a child in the care of Mary and Joseph, having just returned from Egypt and settling safely in Nazareth. And then in the opening verses of the third chapter, which precede today's reading, we are introduced to John the Baptist, who's in the Judean wilderness and is preaching a message of repentance in lieu of the coming kingdom of God, calling people to be baptized with the water of repentance in preparation for one who was coming, who was more powerful than John, one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in the next scene, which is today's gospel passage, Jesus, the one about whom John has been prophesying, is there standing on the banks of the River Jordan. He asks John to baptize him. And John objects, quoted as saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But then, according to Matthew, Jesus answered him in those words with which I started this sermon, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then in the critical next words of the passage, John consented. He agreed to do what God asked of him. He, like Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the passages that we have heard over the last several weeks, from the Sunday before Christmas to today, John responded in obedience to God. And then we have this powerful, transformational, revelatory moment made possible in part by John's consent. John's willingness to do something that had originally seemed absurd to him. We have this moment of clarity in the revelation of God's purpose and plan for the world. John baptizes Jesus and the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends like a dove and a voice can be heard from the heavens saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, the translation of the Bible that we hear in services here at St. Andrew's is the New Revised Standard Version, which isn't as formal as the Revised Standard Version or the King James Version, for that matter, but it still presents translation of conversations in fairly formal language. And so we hear that response from Jesus that I've said twice now. "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." But one of the things that we know about Jesus, given his time and his place and early biblical text, is that Jesus spoke the common language of the people of his time, a vernacular Aramaic. And so another translation of the Bible that I find helpful from time to time is The Message, a modern translation prepared by Presbyterian minister and biblical scholar Eugene Peterson, which renders the speech of Jesus and those with him with whom he interacted in a more colloquial tone. So here's a translation of that exchange as found in Peterson's translation. John objected, "I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right, all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. What I love about Peterson's translation is how much it makes clear that this is a critical moment in the revelation of God's plan for the world. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. This is a liminal moment, a moment in which the truth of God and God's creation is being laid bare in a way that is beyond our everyday comprehension. The heavens are opening and God is letting the world know a deep, eternal truth that God has had in the works from the beginning of time. God's work, putting all things right, all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. And on whom did this liminal, transformational, revelatory moment depend? On this peculiar, reclusive man, John, who was hanging out in the Judean wilderness, the Judean desert, a desolate place, it's uninhabited. This man, John, whom Matthew has previously told us wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. That is who God decides to partner with in this moment that is intended to fulfill all righteousness. This moment in which God's work of putting things right all these centuries is coming together. One could imagine the powerful, creative tension of that defining revelatory moment in the history of creation. Everything was in place, everything had been planned and prepared, and now it just depended on this locust-eating, camel-hair-wearing man who spent his days crying out in the wilderness. God was ready, prepared to open the heavens and send forth the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and then announce to the world in language that echoed that which had been written in the book of Isaiah over a half millennium prior, language that we heard this morning. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And so John consented, or as Peterson translates, John did it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Jesus' public ministry then begins through the collaborative work of John in that baptism. Jesus' identity is publicly declared. And from that point forward, he goes about the work of proclaiming the good news, thanks in part to John's willingness to respond in obedience to God. The world is told who Jesus is, God's beloved Son. And then Jesus begins to let the world know what it means to encounter God's beloved Son. And so this passage reminds us that when we respond in obedience to God, amazing, startling things can happen. God has chosen certain moments in time in which to continue the unfolding revelation of God's love. But God, in all God's wisdom, has also made us partners in that ongoing revelation. Just as Mary and Joseph and the wise men and John had a choice, we likewise have a choice. Because here at St. Andrew's, we are part of God's unfolding revelation of love. We have been placed on this corner at this time so that the world around us might know who God's beloved Son is, the one in whom God delights. And God has entrusted us with the decision, the choice, to decide whether we will, like John, respond in obedience, whether we will choose to join in God's ongoing revelation.